Local news can come at you fast. Want the latest on what's happening in your backyard? Download the free Odyssey app. Follow your local news station, and you'll get alerts on the top stories making headlines in your city. You can stay in the know, no matter what you're up to, and be among the first to find out when news breaks. Plus, keep tabs on weather and traffic, so you're never caught off guard. To get started, download the Odyssey app. That's A-U-D-A-C-Y. And follow your local news station.
The Rich Zeoli Show podcast is sponsored by Mike Venaria Jr. with Osperity Private Wealth.
Hi, I'm Mike Venaria Jr., Wealth Management Specialist. Make your retirement dreams a reality by creating your retirement plan today. Call me at 856-252-0107.
Well, President Trump is going to, feels good saying that, right? President Donald Trump is going to speak soon on artificial intelligence after a busy first day and second day. Man, guys, going at it full steam. It's exactly like you'd expect. Welcome back to the show. Glad you're here. 855-839-1210 on X at Rich Zeoli. Flurry of executive orders signed yesterday. More today. He'll be meeting with key Republican leadership, and then he'll be speaking soon. Artificial intelligence. And then at some point, too, we're also going to hear the president talk about what I think is going to be very, very crucial, infrastructure. Something that's all in our minds, obviously. This morning, I had the opportunity to go up to New York. I did a hit on Fox News, America's Newsroom. Gosh, with Dana Perino and Bill Hemmer, talking about two of the executive orders that Trump signed yesterday. The first one, of course, being that for the purposes of the federal government, there are now only two genders, male and female. And like I said to you yesterday on the show, thank God. And the reason why the president won is this was a sleeper issue in the campaign. I mean, among other reasons, there were so many people in the suburbs and in urban areas, too, who said, you know what? The pendulum had swung way too far on this issue, way too far. And the minute that the kids got involved in this, it was over. That's when people said, enough is enough with this crap. Enough is enough. You know, and if Kamala Harris had won, today she'd be signing a declaration that there's 475 different genders and that whatever gender you are, except for male, you can be protected by the federal government from ever being fired. So that's the difference here is we're getting back to common sense and reality. There's men and there's women, male and female. And somebody asked me today, they said, well, wasn't the issue kind of on life support? Doesn't this kind of restart it? Nothing with the left's ever really on life support. They're always looking for a fight. They're always looking for the next fight. Trump said he was going to do this. I think it's the reason why a lot of parents voted for him. I think they were tired of going all the way back to COVID. You know, they were tired of being left out of the decision making. And you had states like New Jersey where the battle that's been going on about whether states can even know, parents can even know if their kid comes to school and identifies as a different gender or not. You know, you've got school boards who won't let the parents even know. And that's insane because I personally think it's mental illness. And there's a lot of doctors who think it's mental illness. Or it could be a kid just desperately seeking attention, which could be a form of mental illness. Could be a lot of different things. I need to know as a parent so I can deal with it appropriately. But the left doesn't want to entertain anything other than, there could be 412 different genders. So by Trump doing this now, it just establishes what everybody knows, which is there are two genders. There's men and there's women, period. So good. The second thing is this issue of equity and ending this entire idea that we're going to have all these DEI requirements and you're going to get ahead just because you may not be qualified for the job, but you've got certain characteristics and boxes they need to check for diversity reasons. And a lot of people out there either got passed over for a job or they wake up every day afraid that they're going to lose their job in favor of somebody else who checks the boxes. And the point that I made this morning is you're getting on an airplane, you want the best possible pilot. And when you're under that operating table, you want the best possible surgeon. Like my guy, Dr. Dave Malilli at Cooper. I just got to give him a shout out because I went to see him today. My foot is making great progress. And thank you for all your prayers and your nice thoughts. Foot's making excellent progress. Dr. Malilli is the man. Saved my foot. Great guy. And it's funny because he was listening to the show the other day when I was saying how I don't listen to any of his instructions. And he said I wanted to take a baseball bat and beat the radio to death. But and he's on to me. He knows I went up to New York on Saturday. He knows all about the Russian oligarch's car, who I crashed my scooter into it, and he knows I was in New York today. Couldn't really hide it, the fact that I came into the office wearing a suit and tie today. But nevertheless, I'm doing good. We're on our way. We're on our way to healing. And then in a couple weeks, he will remove the stitches, and then I have to get another surgery, this time to deal with everything inside the foot once the infection's gone. So not out of the woods yet. Got another surgery to go. That'll be done in a couple weeks. And then he said the real healing begins. And he said to me, and I quote, "If I need to put you in a cast up to your ass, I will do so, so that you follow my instructions and don't walk around on the thing. But don't worry, eventually, in like 12 weeks, I'll be able to drive again and walk around." But we're healing, and that's the key point. We've turned the corner on this, and I feel a lot better today. I don't know if it's psychological or not. I just feel better knowing that the pathology came back in the bone and things are looking good. So that's the good news. Looks like I won't be losing my foot anytime soon. At least not today. I'm sure I'll do something stupid in the next couple of weeks that could change all that, but at least not today. Anyway, he's a great doctor, great surgeon, great example of that, right? One of Cooper's finest. You want the best surgeon you can get, not somebody who's there because they checked a bunch of boxes and won the prize in the Cracker Jack box. So that's the truth. That's the reality. And of course, the other thing, I had a question about executive orders yesterday from my friend Dawn on X, and part of the Zioli Army, and she's asking about those and saying, what's this whole thing with executive orders and why do we have this, you know, Biden did it, Trump did it. Well, unfortunately, we live in a time right now where we have to keep playing catch up. Biden on day one put in all these nutty executive orders, and now Trump has to undo executive orders that Biden put in place. And ultimately, we want to get to a place where Congress goes back to passing laws and the executive stops promulgating rules. But there are, if you look at what Trump was doing, he's directing his agencies and departments, which is fully in line with the powers of the presidency. You look at it like the president of the United States is the CEO of the executive branch of government, and he's directing his agencies and departments to do certain things. For example, to end the weaponization in government. So he wants all of his departments and agencies that are part of the executive branch to immediately begin steps to end the weaponization of government on the American people and to make reports to him within 30 days on the level of the extent of the weaponization against the American people. And then he wants an update every 30 days after that, which is good. So that's an example of directing his agencies. So if you think about an executive order in that sense, he can't tell Congress what to do. He can't tell the Supreme Court what to do, but he can tell his own departments and agencies what to do. So he can direct Homeland Security and the Department of the Army to deal with the border situation, to work together on coming up with comprehensive solutions on the border situation. He can direct Customs and Border Protection to shut down certain ports of entry. He can do all within the whatever's allowed by law, he can direct his agencies to do. Now, the TikTok ban, for example, some people were suggesting that he didn't have the authority to do what he did yesterday, but there is a provision within the law that gives the president the ability to give TikTok a 90-day extension if it seems like there's a deal that's going to be made. So he did that as well. And for the purposes of the federal government, that means that within the executive branch of government, the president has decided that there are his branch will only deal with two genders. Now, Congress can do whatever it wants. You know, the legislative branch, if it wants to keep going with 475 genders, well, that's up to Congress. In other words, if Speaker Mike Johnson and Senate Majority Leader John Thune, wanted to recognize that for the purposes of Congress, a legislative aide can identify as bilateral, transgender, gender fluid, whatever, well, that's up to them. If the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court wants to say that law clerks can do the same, well, that's up to them. The president can't tell those agencies what to do, but within the executive branch of government, he certainly can. Now, if Congress were to pass a law saying that the federal government will only recognize men and women, then that would apply to all three branches if it were to be signed by the president into law, and or if he were to veto it, they override his veto, and if it were to survive a court challenge before the Supreme Court. So that's basically how that works in terms of executive orders and executive actions. And nothing Trump has done would suggest to me in any way he's exceeded his executive authority. And that doesn't mean there won't be lawsuits. There's already lawsuits that are being filed as of today. And there's going to be lots of lawsuits. That's the nature of the game. The lawyers always win. I've been telling you this for years, right? The lawyers always win. And it seems amazing how it's always good to be a lawyer or a lobbyist in Washington, no matter what. From what I heard from people who were at the balls last night, they had a lot of fun. Some were more fun than others. And it was very, very cold in Washington, D.C. Newsflash, it's January and it's freaking cold out. But nevertheless, it's getting hot in here, baby, when it comes to all the executive actions that Trump is doing. And it makes me happy. It really does. It makes me very, very happy. So let's begin, shall we, with some things that right off the top of the bat, I want to make you aware of. And that number one is this. President Trump is making it very clear early on that he wants to get things done and he wants to have a great relationship with the press. Which is crazy for a dictator and a tyrannical lunatic that he would have the press corps in the Oval Office last night joking around with them and signing a bunch of things in their presence. But that's what happened. He did that yesterday. He had the White House press corps in the Oval Office and they were joking around. Even a point when Peter Ducey, the Deuce, said to him, did Biden leave you a letter? And Trump opened the door and said, oh, look at this. There's a letter here. I didn't even know this was going to be here. In fact, let's begin there. This was a good moment. Yes, last night I thought this was kind of fun. Cut number four.
That's a big one. A lot of big ones, huh? You know what that means, right?
President Trump, did President Biden leave you a letter?
He may have. Wait. Don't they leave it in the desk? I don't know. Oh.
What's in there?
Thank you, Peter. It could have been years before we found it. Wow. Thank you.
Can you read that on the outside?
Maybe we should all read it together.
Let's read it.
Well, maybe I'll read it first and then make that determination.
That sounds great.
Peter, thank you very much. I may not have seen this for months.
Happy to help with the passing of the torch.
I did. I left him one in the desk just like this.
What are you talking about at the moment?
Unification of our country.
Unification of the country, right? Which is something very, very important and something that we got to have. He said he wants to be the great unifier and the peacemaker. And the left already can't deal with that. They're already freaking out about this and analyzing how every time somebody puts their arm into the air, whether or not it's a Nazi salute or not. It's ridiculous. And of course, there is the controversial pardon of over 1,500 January Sixers, which I'll talk about as well. Hey, at least he didn't pull an Abraham Lincoln and pardon Confederate soldiers who literally fought against the Union. In an act of mercy to try to turn the page and move on with charity toward all and malice toward none. At least he didn't do something crazy like that. Funny how that's not even been brought up at all in this entire conversation about that. Like Lincoln sat there and pardoned Civil War soldiers and generals because he wanted it to just be over and he wanted to turn the page. He didn't have to do that. He said enough is enough. And a lot of people in his orbit did not want him to do that. Trump made a promise he was going to do this, and he did it. These people have certainly paid a lot of price for their actions. And I don't know, I guess people wanted them to rot away in jail forever? Die, maybe? I'm not quite sure. I mean, but for many of them, they've already been in jail for years. And for many of them, they also have gone through legal expenses and legal hell. And for a lot of them, their sentences were merely commuted. But he said he was going to do it. And look, I know that I personally can't stand the whole whataboutism game. But people have pointed out, what about the fact that on literally his last day in office, Biden pardons his own family members, which a lot of people on the left acknowledged kind of paved the way for Trump to do what he did yesterday. Like there were people on the left furious at Biden for doing that. Pardoning his family members and preemptively pardoning people who were not even charged with anything on his way out the door yesterday. So all that happened. And we'll talk more about that. One of the guys who was sent to prison is a guy named Steve Baker. He's a journalist. His crime on January the 6th was covering January 6th as a journalist, and he was sent to prison. His story is heartbreaking. I've covered his story in the past, and it's absolutely heartbreaking to think of what this man went through, and we'll talk about that today on the show as well. One of the guys that former President Joe Biden pardoned on his way out the door is Fauci. And Paul Thacker is going to join the show in a little bit. Paul Thacker is going to explain why Congress needs to investigate Fauci. And I believe Senator Rand Paul, as the chairman of the Homeland Security Committee, is going to do just that. And Congressman Jeff Van Drew is going to join the show today at 4 o'clock. I'm excited because yesterday Trump killed the windmills, just like he promised. The president killed the windmills and the wind turbines, a great move by the president of the United States on day number one. I was really excited about that, really excited about that. So that's great. And we're going to talk about that as the show goes on today as well. So 855-839-1210 is the number, 855-839-1210. Here's President Trump last night at the Liberty Ball talking about the whole issue of gender. Cut number eight.
And I was saying before, we're the party of common sense. You know, we don't want to have men playing in women's sports. We don't want to have transgender operations for everyone.
We don't want to have them for everybody. We don't need it. We just don't need these things anymore. So that's that. And there you go. So men are men, women are women, and there you go. But I got to tell you, too, the left is not happy about this. The left is not happy. And this will be another fight. And good. I think the more you engage the left in this from a purely political purpose, then the more you're winning. Because I know that moms and dads have had it with this crap. And I know that just people in general in life think this whole thing is insane. So if the left wants to keep doubling down on the idea that a man can be a woman and a woman can be a man, let them. Go ahead. Let them have that fight and they'll continue to lose. Because no one in their right mind actually believes this stuff. And we've all had to pretend like this is real because we've been so afraid of getting fired. We've been so afraid of all of the ramifications of this. And what Trump did yesterday by saying this is he made good on his promise. And he also turned around and said, you don't have to be afraid anymore because we're going to deal with science and reality. I actually joked with Bill Hemmer about this morning when he said to me, well, we heard from a woman. Now let's hear from a man. Rich, what do you think? And I said, what are you, a biologist, Hemmer? Huh? Come on. Now, when we get ready to hear from President Trump soon, speaking from the White House, we'll take it live for you today. I remember what it was like in afternoon drive back in the day when President Trump was there. And I remember that there were lots of times during the show that we broke into things during his presidency. A lot of times, because he tends to get going in the afternoon. I mean, the guy never sleeps, but he tends to really rev it up in the afternoon. So we were cutting into things a lot when I was on 3 to 6 back then. When I moved to mornings, it was a lot quieter, and that was when COVID hit. I mean, I moved to mornings in May of 2019. COVID hits in March of 2020. And then I went back to afternoons for an hour a day, if you remember back then. I would come on the air at 5 o'clock to do the White House briefing with you to bring that live because I felt like it was very, very important to have a live host on the station. We believed that it was very important back then, not just me. Greg believed that as well. So I would come back on the air at 5 o'clock, and I would typically bring the White House press briefing to you live every day at 5. But now that I'm back in afternoons for this next iteration of the Trump presidency, I'm excited about it, and I imagine that for the next 4 years, if I'm still here, blessed to be able to do this, whether I have 1 foot or two, we're going to be cutting into a lot of different things again because he gets going and he loves to engage the press corps. He has fun doing it. He loves to enjoy that. Oh, you know who had a problem yesterday justifying Biden's pardons? Was Count Grand Sangelis, Spartacus Booker, and the Tears of Rage Band himself, Cory Booker. Yes. When we get back, I'll share with you how Count Grantstangela had a very, very hard time trying to justify Biden's pardons, even of people like Asanto Fauci, Anthony Fauci, the nation's leading infectious disease doctor. Of course, you always have to say that by law. And we will say that by law until we can call him. Sorry about this. This is my son's friends trying to FaceTime. Until we can finally call him Prisoner Fauci. That will be a nice thing, I think, for all of us as well. And he deserves to be. The guy's a criminal, an absolute criminal, no question about it. All right, so the big story of the hour brought to you by our buddy Dr. Mike Vanaria, VanariaDental.com. Go see him today for your perfect smile, V-A-N-A-R-I-A, VanariaDental.com, with two locations to serve you in Cinnaminson and Woodbury. See Dr. Mike today for your perfect smile.
The Rich Zeoli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Yes, indeed. We do salute you, and today is going to be a busy, busy day. Every day is going to be a busy day. Every day in Trump's America now. And one of the things we're going to do is we're going to get Fauci, because we deserve to get Fauci. Welcome back. Glad you're here. 855-839-1210 on X at Rich Zeoli. The Disinformation Chronicles is one of my go-to must-read sites. And I'm very, very happy to welcome back to the show. Paul Thacker joins me now on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. Paul, thanks for making the time today in Philadelphia. I appreciate it. How you doing?
Hey, man, I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on again.
Absolutely. No, it's always great to have you. You know, you're one of the smartest guys out there, and you've been relentless in your pursuit of trying to get to the truth on Fauci and all the craziness he's up against, he's been up to. And so is Rand Paul, by the way. Senator Rand Paul also has been relentless in trying to go after Fauci, which is great because now he's the chairman of a very powerful committee in the Senate, and he's going to have the power to do so. Biden preemptively pardoning Fauci on the way out the door yesterday. Give us your thoughts.
So I knew this was coming, and so I had a piece kind of basically all reported out for Real Clear Investigations. And what I wanted to look at was, what criminal violations did he face? Like, what was his criminal, legal jeopardy? And there were three things that he had done. So he lied to Congress about the funding he sent to Wuhan to the virology. Rand Paul had actually sent two referrals to the Department of Justice about this. He, on two separate occasions, Fauci lied about this under oath. He also misled Congress about using its private email to escape document retention laws from the federal government. And this came out just over the summer. He was questioned about this under oath. He said, no, I haven't used my private email. And the next day I rolled out an article about that he was communicating with a reporter at Kaiser Family Fund, on his private Gmail. And 3 days after that, the New York Post released an email where he was talking to a Washington Post reporter, on his Gmail. So he lied about that. He also committed probably research misconduct and abuse of power. This involved a grant that he gave to a researcher who wrote a study called Proximal Origins, which basically absolved Fauci of potentially having started the pandemic in the Wuhan Institute of Virology. Mm-hmm. And after that paper came out, Fauci sent him an $8.9 million grant.
$9 million grant.
Yeah, 8.9. Yeah. 8.9.
8.9. Okay. Well, we can round up. It's okay. We can round up. Not a problem.
Yeah.
Now, are these things criminal?
Well, sure. I mean, lying to Congress, it's 1001 violation. When I used to be a Senate investigator, there's been a couple occasions in which I've either sent letters to people warning them about lying to us, or I've had like direct discussions with attorneys warning them about lying to us. And I can tell you that people take this. Well, they used to take it seriously in the past.
Yeah.
People have been. Roger Stone, Trump's advisor, was prosecuted for lying under oath to Congress. He got caught, on that, and Trump later pardoned him. His lies about his private email again. That's another 1001 violation. And then for the abuse of power, that's actually also a federal statute, also, and that involves how he, was using his position to basically manipulate science and, sending grants. That one hasn't been totally investigated. I spoke to a former federal law enforcement official who was advising various investigative committees on the House. And what this person told me was, like, Congress needs to investigate this. The Department of Justice needs to own this issue. Like, no one's really looked at this stuff and investigate what happened.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. And by pardoning Fauci, he can't use the Fifth Amendment anymore. I mean, that's a good thing, Paul Thacker, is that now he's lost the ability to claim, hey, you know, I don't have to answer that on the basis it may incriminate me. So when he comes before the committee, and there's a lot of other people in his little merry band of Fauciettes, his gain-of-function Fauciettes who were not pardoned, he can name names, and he's going to have to name names now because he has no ability to hide behind anything, and he could be compelled to answer.
Right. He can be compelled to answer, but also, you know, if he's asked about lies he's told in the past. So, for instance, if he's asked, for instance, directly, did you lie under oath about using your private email? And if he says, no, I did not lie, they can then produce the email where he actually did use his private email. And so he can then be prosecuted for lying about the lie.
Sure.
So there are multiple ways this can proceed forward. And also, you know, I mean, so there are already Rand Paul has committed to continue to investigate this. I found out from sources that Senator Ron Johnson is also going to continue. And there's also a powerful House committee that's going to continue to investigate these issues. So, you know, I think we're going to get to the bottom of this. And there's one other thing, you know, that you know, I sort of had a brief part in the story that I wrote. You know, John Ratcliffe is going to be confirmed as the incoming CIA director. Mm-hmm. He has said under oath before committee that he's looked at the intelligence that has not been released yet. Biden was supposed to release this. He didn't. Not just Ratcliffe. The former CDC director has said this as well. People I've spoken to as well have all said that there is still information classified to this day that shows very clearly that this pandemic started from a lab accident or from something happening at the Wuhan Center of Virology where Fauci was funding. Now, Ratcliffe is going to come in CIA. There's a very good chance he's going to declassify some of that information, who knows, within coming months. That's, again, going to point to the fact that Fauci was involved in a cover-up and lying to the American public.
Well, that's huge, Paul Thacker. That's absolutely huge. And that would be an amazing, amazing revelation. Paul Thacker's with the investigative journalist, former fellow at the Edmund J. Safra Center for Ethics at Harvard University. His latest article, Fauci's Lies Forced a Biden Pardon, Creating a New Legal Jeopardy for, in quotes, Mr. Science. You should subscribe to the Disinformation Chronicle and go to paulthacker.com. Follow him on X at ThackerPD. Now, the other part of this, too, is that we don't know everything. I mean, we're only dealing with information that has been revealed to us up until this point. John Ratcliffe, I think, as CIA director, it's interesting to me because we know that the CIA may have played a part in covering up for the lab leak. And when that information came out, a lot of people said, why the hell would the CIA play a role in that? It sounded like the stuff of like an Oliver Stone movie or something, but it kind of makes sense if you think about it. If the CIA was trying to cover for China, and really because we had a role in creating this weaponized virus. So we can get to the bottom of that, too. I want to know the role the Chinese military played in all this. And I'd like to know the answer, too, regarding the fall of 2019 when the United States military was over there for the Military World Games. And we had our first instances of people getting sick with what looked to be COVID-like symptoms.
Yeah. So I mean, the one thing that I've heard is, you know, why, you know, for instance, is the intelligence community still trying to cover up the fact of, you know, what they know? I mean, just to give you an example. I've spoken to people. There are investigators with top secret security clearances who have documents already sitting over a skiff in the Senate, and they're briefing senators right now showing that this pandemic, you know, started from a lab accident, from, you know, at the Wuhan Center of Virology. The only thing that people can, because people don't know, like, why is the CIA doing this? Why are they still trying to cover this up? The only thing that people have to speculate is that we have assets there in that lab, and there is no one wants to expose that lab for doing something because that might burn the assets we have there already. So, you know, part of the whole thing is, you know, if you explain to people like how you know something, then the people who at the other end can be like, well, how do you figure that out? And you start like, you just work it backwards and you can figure out like, oh, they have a camera in here or they have a person in there who was in the room at the time. There's five people in the room. Who was one of those who were in there? So they're trying to maintain their assets they have already there in China.
Do you think that there's other labs where we're gonna find out in the course of all this where we're doing similar work and maybe some of that's still ongoing?
Oh, I have no doubt at all. I mean, this whole area of this, you know, gain of function virus research, it's totally unregulated. Accidents happen all the time. You know, there's a couple. There's one reporter out there, Allison Young, who's written quite. She just has a book out. It came out in the last year. She teaches journalism and is a columnist for USA Today. She's probably the most, I would say, most skilled reporter, most experienced reporter in looking at lab accidents. And they're just incredibly common. They're underreported. And the scientists are just, they're just kind of out of control. You know, they don't really think so much about safety. They're just people who just like, give us our money. We want to do the research. Shut up. We know what we're doing. You know, right. I call them like, they're like high school boys who like want to make things go boom.
High school boys who want to make things go boom. I mean, it sounds fun, except when you start a global pandemic and, you know, millions of people die and then you try to cover it all up. The other part of this, too, which has always bugged me, is this notion that the virus, and I don't know, I mean, explain this to me. I've read this somewhere, Paul Thacker. You would know this better than me. Is it possible that we originally started cooking this thing up here and then brought it over to China and then kept tinkering with it over there? I mean, is there a possibility that that happened as well?
I mean, that's a possibility. You know, the guy who's really the genius, who really knows more about how to do this type of virus research than anyone else is Ralph Baric at the University of North Carolina. You know, there's no evidence that he, you know, started. What people mostly realize is that he taught the Chinese how to do this kind of research. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it's also possible that he was shipping, you know, viruses over there. So, you know, the top security lab in Canada also had a huge scandal where they had people with ties to the Chinese military working in this Canadian lab. And one of the things that came out in the scandal was that they were actually shipping viruses, dangerous viruses, from that lab in Canada to the Wuhan Institute of Virology. What they would do is they would just, like, put it in a liquid, blot it on a paper, and then put it in the mail. I mean, that's how they were shipping stuff. You know, I mean, there was a huge scandal that then got covered up by Trudeau and the Liberals, and people were called racist if they asked questions about it. I think there was an ongoing investigation. There might still be one going on, but like that was also another huge scandal. I mean, this stuff is just very, very unregulated.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's it, right? It's unregulated. And what do you hope that comes out of this in terms of what President Trump needs to do right away in this area? I mean, just flat out end gain-of-function research altogether?
I think that's what's going to happen. You know, I'm never one to like blanket ban stuff. You know, I think that things need to be, you know, because like whenever you do that, you know, there's always going to be slight possibilities that something might work in a certain situation or be good in a situation. Like just blanket bans always kind of worries me. But at the same time, too, the problem we have is that the virologist, the experts in this area, continue to lie. And so maybe mm-hmm. that's what needs to happen is there's going to be a ban. Now, my understanding is that Trump is going to institute a ban. I thought it was going to hit the first day. But I think when it's coming, but, you know, it's going to have to be, you know, across all agencies because, you know, funding for Equal Health Alliance, which was the cutout that Fauci was using to send money to Wuhan, they got money also from USAID, from the Department of Defense, and other agencies, I think Department of Agriculture. So we don't even know, like, all the funding that went to that group that just got, you know, just got banned.
Now, that's amazing. Did you ever follow, by the way, the theory that Lyme disease may be a bioweapon? I know that New Jersey Congressman Chris Smith has been all over this, and this is one of those things that, you know, he'd like to see the research on that pick up again now that President Trump's back in office. Has that ever been anything that's interested you in the past, Paul Thacker?
Yeah, well, I mean, Chris Newby wrote a really good book on this, and, you know, I mean, there's not a smoking gun that this is what happened, but you know, there's a lot of evidence that, like, I mean, first off, we know that they were, you know, messing around with all these viruses and messing around with, you know, a lot of these other different pathogens. And, you know, where the virus, you know, the pathogen that causes Lyme disease popped up is in an area where there was a lot of this research going on. I interviewed and talked to Chris Newby. Like, she's said, like, there's quite a bit of evidence something happened. And the one thing we know, again, same thing is, you know, there's a cover-up going on, like where they're not open and talking about it. And whether that cover-up is because, you know, they have, you know, people are scared that, like, they actually did release this pathogen from a lab, like from doing research, or if they're just worried that people are asking questions, it's going to appear. But the main thing is driving a lot of this sort of cover-up and why these scientists don't want to be open and honest is because it's all about money. They want to make sure that the grant money keeps coming. They don't want regulations. They don't want anyone asking, you know, for anything about their research. And they're, so they lie, and then they always say, oh, my God, if you restrict what I can do, like, this is going to harm public health. Like, they're starting it now with bird flu. I mean, bird flu is the next one in which, you know, we're being bombarded over the last, I'd say, year or so with all these scare stories about bird flu. Like, bird flu, you know, it is actually scary. It could potentially be, you know, a very deadly pathogen. But the way the media, you know, handles it, it's just, it's more fear porn. It's COVID all over again.
Yeah, no, it is. You're right. And what really annoys me about that is you see right away the leftists who immediately begin to start talking about all the precautions that have to happen and blah, blah, blah. And they rush right into it and start scaring people. And then you turn around and you say, we don't need this anymore. But also it undermines their credibility. If, God forbid, something does actually happen, that we need people to listen to them. Like, that's the part of this you can only cry wolf so many times, right? Until people just stop listening to you. And my fear is that in the next couple of years, there could actually be a virus that we all should pay attention to. But at that point, now these people have completely just lost all credibility. Last question for you, Paul Thacker. President Trump yesterday removed the United States of America from the World Health Organization, which I think is a good move. But how complicit have they been in all of this? And Fauci's involvement with them, give us all the details on that as well.
Well, I'll give you one thing that I found out the World Health Organization that shocked me when I went to Twitter. I came back with some documents internally to Twitter, and what had happened is they were going after Tucker Carlson. This would have been like in 2021, I want to say, because he was allegedly promoting disinformation about vaccines. He had produced something that he was at Fox News at the time, that said something to the effect of, well, the World Health Organization has put out information saying that there hasn't really been any good safety testing for these COVID vaccines. And they said, well, that's wrong. The World Health Organization didn't say that. So I was like, okay, why is Tucker Carlson lying? And then I just got suspicious. So I went to the World Health Organization's website for their vaccines, right? And it didn't say what Tucker Carlson reported that they had said. So then I put it into the Wayback Machine, the World Health Organization's website. What they had done is, the day after Tucker Carlson reported what their website said, they ghost edited it. They took out information that he had reported on, put in new information, and then reposted it. And it was ghost edited, I know, because normally when they update the page, they put a date when they updated it. There was no update at all. So they basically lied. They censored themselves to go after Tucker Carlson and turn Tucker Carlson into an acting vaccine, you know, disinformation, you know, guy. And then Twitter went after him. So, you know, I just, you know, the World Health Organization is just like, whether it's good or bad to go in or get out of it, they're just not, they need a lot of changes there. And if what's going to spur them to make changes is like Trump, you know, pulling America out of it, that's a good thing. If that causes them to reform to get back in, that's fine. If we just go our own ways, you know, that might be what it is. But, like, this is an organization that, from what I can tell, is not necessarily putting the public interest first.
I mean,
not right now.
No, I mean, two things come to mind on that point. Number one is, very early on in the pandemic, they went along with China's lie that there had been no cases of human-to-human transmission of COVID. And then the second thing is, you know, you have this cabal of Bond villains that want the United States of America to essentially surrender its sovereignty if there ever is another pandemic, and just turn it all over to the World Health Organization. And that's just crazy and insane, especially when they do the bidding of countries like China. So, I mean, from where I sit, they don't seem to be a neutral player here. And again, I'm guessing that all comes back to money and who funds them.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I would say the one unintended consequence of us getting out is, I imagine they're going to lose a huge chunk of change, in which case then they're going to be even more in the pockets of China, I would guess.
Yeah. I mean, the China funding has had a, you know, huge issue. There was something also, I think China may have actually put Tedros like in charge behind the scenes with their maneuvering. You know, it's just a very opaque organization. And, you know, a lot of public health people are like, you know, World Health Organization, we have to stay in it. But like, to me, they haven't really made a case to explain why we should stay in it, other than just saying they don't like Trump, which is not a reason.
They need
to make a case for why we should continue to fund and why we should continue to be involved in this, you know, organization when, you know, so much I feel like what's going on there is that we're dealing with like all this palace politics to try to get at something which is, you know, has American interests and world interests, you know? And you know, I think the calculation on the Trump team is that it's better for us to just go alone. And like, we can deal with these issues on our own. We're a big enough country. We have enough money. We don't need to like, you know, send money to World Health Organization, which they're not necessarily going to do things that are in our own interest or in the public's interest. And then we have to deal with them, plus try to, you know, get things done our own way, you know? So, you know, the people who wanted us to stay inside the World Health Organization needed to make the case, and they didn't make the case, you know, yammering about Trump and saying Hitler's going to take us out of it. Like, that's not convincing. That's not an argument.
Yeah.
It's not.
Yeah. Well said, my friend. Listen, follow Paul on X at ThackerPD and subscribe to the Disinformation Chronicles. Trust me, it is absolutely worth your time. PaulDThacker.com. Hey, keep up the good fight, my friend. Keep us posted on all the new developments. It's going to be a fun year.
Hey, thanks very much for having me on. I've got a piece coming out soon. I caught Francis Collins lying to Congress. And just today, his last day at the White House, was yesterday. He was detailed to the White House. He's now back at the NIH. So it's going to be interesting to see what's going to happen when the new administration comes in, what they do with Francis Collins. My guess is he's not going to be in that much longer.
well, send that to us as soon as the piece is published. And I don't know if you know this or not, but Francis Collins singing somewhere over the pandemic, they actually used that at Guantanamo Bay to torture the terrorists. I don't know if you, that's a thing. So, all right, Paul, thanks, buddy. Appreciate it.
The Rich Zeoli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
That was for you, DeSantis. I know you love that song, so you know you can cue that up for us for our return. All right, Congressman Jeff Van Drew is going to join us. I know you do love that.
I already have it ready.
Oh, you do? Well, then,
yeah.
Without further ado, go ahead.
Somewhere.
Oh, man. DeSantis' ringtone. Cue up the Justin cam. Can we do that? I want to see Justin cringe. Oh, look at him. Poor Justin. He's like, I didn't sign up for this crap. This is cruel and unusual punishment. The Eighth Amendment violation. You know, if they play this at the border on giant speakers, like all the people trying to cross will be like, no! And they'll turn around and just run back in whatever direction they were coming from. Oh, my God. All right. Enough. My cats are screaming. I don't even have them.
By the way, it has 20,000 views, and I think we're responsible for all 20,000. That's how many times we've played it. Yeah.
No doubt in my mind about that. It's just cruel and punishing to the audience. No doubt about it. All right, Congressman Jeff Van Drew is going to join us. Big news on the wind turbine front. I got to tell you about Emmons Roofing and Siding. You know, they do great work over at Emmons. I'm so proud of our relationship with them. They're outstanding. And the thing about this is that Emmons does the kind of work you'd expect, which is trustworthy and guaranteed. So, for example, the roof is going to have a lifetime warranty on that roof. Lifetime warranty. That's a beautiful thing. Anderson window replacement, doors, siding, so much more. 10% off for each and every one of my listeners. Isn't that great? You bet it's great. They serve our entire region, Pennsylvania, New Jersey, Delaware, and the Jersey Shore. Look, winter's here. It's freezing out. You need a home that's going to withstand the elements, and Emmons is your go-to, your one-stop shop for all your home improvement upgrades. They even have a bathroom remodeling division at Emmons. And yes, they remodeled the bathroom in our old home. That's how much I trust Emmons, and they've done great work for us in two different homes now. So just reach out to them today at emmonsroofing.com. Matt and Stephanie would love to take great care of you. Their design team can help you with all your projects. And you'll get the best in the business, Owens Corning Shingle. They'll never tell you you need a new roof if you don't. But if you do, you will get the best. emmonsroofing.com. emmonsroofing.com.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
Went a little long there, kids, but don't worry. We're firing at all cylinders, and Congressman Jeff Van Drew is going to join us next. He's very fired up, as you can imagine, because President Trump has taken immediate action on the wind turbines, which makes me incredibly happy as well. Plus, in the 4 o'clock hour, the president is expected to speak on infrastructure as it relates to artificial intelligence. So we're going to take that live for you when it happens. It's going to be a lot going on. I think Afternoon Drive is definitely once again going to be the place to be. And not just because I'm here, because it's where the action's going to be, baby. So you're in a good spot. So don't go away. We'll come back with New Jersey Congressman Jeff Van Drew straight ahead.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.